Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is artist Katie Selfie. Selfie received her BFA from the School of Art Institute of Chicago and spent 2 years at Gemini Gel, a graphic editions limited in Los Angeles. She has exhibited widely on both coasts, including solo shows at the Ink Shop in Ithaca, New York, Mark Wolf Contemporary Art in San Francisco, and the BCA Center in Burlington, Vermont. Her work has been discussed in magazines and journals, including Of Note Magazine, The Wall Street Journal, ArtScope, and the Cornell Daily Sun. And welcome.
Thank you.
It's great to meet you. Now, I always want to start out with this. What is it that led you into becoming an artist?
I come from a lot of artists in my family. So my dad is an artist. He taught for 35 years at University of Vermont in the printmaking department. He was the printmaking professor there.
Wow.
And my stepmother also was an artist, sculpture teacher at University of Vermont, or is an artist. My mom is an artist. She hasn't shown, although she's having her first show in Marin County.
Wow.
In a couple months. My brother is a commercial artist. My sister is a writer. My stepdad's a writer. My grandparents, my grandmother was an artist as well. Didn't
wow.
show.
So you've got art in your blood from way back.
Yeah. I was doing, I think I say in one of my bios, editions of rainbows age 3.
yes.
Uh-huh. So it was definitely a part of my life. And I went to Waldorf school when I was really young. So there was also a big art education from a really young age, even in my schooling.
Yeah, I find that so important. So important, especially in today's culture. Now, you know, many young artists, when I've talked to them about their past, they start out portraying nature and flowers and so on. Did you go through that phase at all?
No. No. I actually started when I was in high school, really focusing on the body. I had an etching professor. I was lucky enough to go to a school that had etching. And so I would make mezzotints or aquatints. I would make the plate black, and then I would scrape away the light to create a silhouette of a body.
Wow.
And mostly like the torso of a naked woman. So I did that. And then I also worked in clay, and I made torsos of women and men. And I would kind of think about Greek sculptures in that you often find them partly broken.
Yeah.
So I would break off the arms and the neck, and it was just the torso. And I painted them gold and silver.
Well, that's a great way to start out your career. I mean, it certainly gives you a feel for what art really is in some ways, to be able to do that. Wow.
Yeah.
So you have a particular focus, I've noticed, on guns, gun culture in America, gun violence. Tell us where that erupted from.
Oh, so let's see where to start. I had just curated a show at the Ink Shop here in town called Combat Paper, and it was about, there's a group called Combat Paper. They are Iraqi vets, I think now also Afghanistan vets, that in, I want to say 2007, 2008, started getting together with each other and tearing up their clothing from their uniforms and pulping it into paper and then writing poetry on it or drawing. And it was a very cathartic way for them to deal with their experiences.
Oh, yeah.
And they were very anti-war and they were not happy with what was going on. So I had been really thinking about that work, and one day the word SNAFU came into my head, and that's a World War II acronym, which stands for Situation Normal, All Fucked Up. And yeah. My grandfather had been in World War II, and he was a navigator for a B-26, 52 missions. And so I heard that acronym, but I also heard many war stories. So all of this kind of came together, and I thought SNAFU is a perfect way to describe what is going on with the American gun culture.
Yeah. And was there any particular gun incident that sparked you?
Well, that word came into my mind. I thought, I want to do a body of work about gun violence, but it wasn't clear what that was going to be. I started first making work about hunting, because I had also just previously made a body of work about poaching animals illegally for body parts.
Mm.
So that was also fresh in my brain. So I printed images from a Bambi comic I just drew on targets from the NRA, images of Bambi or Thumper or Flower, and they said little things like, I don't mind, or Flower sniffed the air and smelled the dreaded scent of man, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
And so they were kind of kitschy in a way, but at the same time, they were, in my mind, I was thinking about, again, like trophy hunting and just hunting in general. And I believe in hunting, but not if it's trophy hunting. And so that's where that started. In 2012, Trayvon Martin was killed.
Oh, yes.
And that was really big in the news. And that was the first gun I painted. And I decided to paint it. I researched which gun was used. I got the make and model and an image of the actual gun. And I painted the exact size and the silhouette of the gun on wood. And I painted in red, acrylic paint, and then I wrote the model and the make of the gun in blue, I believe, with pencil. And then I wrote who the gun was used to kill. So this gun was used to kill Trayvon Martin. Oh, and man. For me, it felt very cathartic. It felt like, I don't know if even that's the right word. It just felt like I was so saddened by what I'd heard in the news, and I felt powerless. It felt like, okay, well, this is something I can do. I don't want to paint an image of him, of Trayvon Martin, nor do I want to honor the man that shot him. I don't want to paint anything gruesome, but I do want to acknowledge the fact that this tool was used and is used time and time again to kill people, and I think we really need to look at it.
Oh, yes, and then you have so many examples that you can draw from, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Gun culture has infected all of our lives.
Absolutely.
There's no question. When I was 10 years old, JFK was murdered.
Right.
And that affected the whole family.
Oh, of course.
God, it was unbelievable. Now, you grew up in rural New England, so says your bio, and that you were fascinated by guns from an early age. Mm-hmm. Was it because of incidences you were seeing in real life?
Well, I grew up in Burlington, Vermont, and my dad would go duck hunting. When I was young, he duck hunted, I think, for about 40 years. And so there were guns in our house. They weren't accessible to me, and I didn't see them often, but there were rifles and shotguns in the house. So there was that presence. And when I started college at Chicago Art Institute, I started making work with gun imagery. And back then, it was much more about the cowboy side, the John Wayne, the blinginess, the, you know, Clint Eastwood, and the sexiness that we see in media and movies. And, you know, Bonnie and Clyde was one of my favorite movies.
Oh, me
and,
too, yeah.
You know, some of the Bruce Springsteen songs, you know, Nebraska, or, you know, I don't know. There's just like, whether for good or for bad, you know, it's not necessarily a nice image when the gun comes into the movie. And at the same time, there's something that's so captivating about these movies and these stories.
Absolutely. And guns are part one of the characters in our American story.
Totally.
There's no question about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So that is where I started. And then fast forward to, I don't know the date. It was right before I got married. My cousin committed suicide, and he shot himself with his dad's gun. So that was really heavy for me, as you can imagine. I was very close to him. And I ended up making work about him, not using gun imagery at all. It was using completely different imagery, but I did make work about him. Fast forward to Trayvon Martin, and then after that, the same year the Sandy Hook shooting happened, I painted some of those guns that were used in the Sandy Hook shooting with the same kind of factual imagery or information and the silhouette of the gun and the life-size image of the gun. And my daughter was the same age as the Sandy Hook kids.
Yeah.
And again, it was just kind of like all I could do. And I think the combination of my original attraction to guns, my cousin committing suicide with a gun, my dad being a duck hunter, and then, you know, I'm a very sensitive person. I hear these stories, and it really comes in a way that I can't really let go of. And so making the art was one way to do that, and to hopefully stimulate a dialogue, a conversation about
I'm
this
sure.
subject.
I'm sure. It's incredible stuff. Do you feel any kind of trepidation about making Gunn a major character in your work?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I've had definitely times when I show the work in particular that I've been scared. My mind has, you know, sometimes I have a vivid imagination, let's just say that. So I'm working with this imagery of guns, and I'm making work that is very controversial, and some might feel challenged by it, especially depending on what side of the issue they're on. And they may have a gun and want to do something with it with me. So, you know, I hope that never happens, but I definitely have felt that feeling before. No one has ever threatened me. On social media, people have definitely challenged me, and I always ignore it, unless it was something smart, maybe something technical. Sometimes I've gotten, you know, a fact wrong, and I will be the first to admit that and change it. But if somebody's somewhat bullying me online, I'm not going to acknowledge it.
You know what I think is really interesting about, especially the guns body of your work, is that either side can grab onto what you're showing, creating, and envisioning.
Oh, yeah.
Was that deliberate, or were you surprised that that was happening?
No, I was not surprised at all. And I think, again, because I came from this original understanding of the gun imagery as a object to love, in, you know, in some way, like, love the image.
Yeah, yeah.
I made these purposefully eye-catching for a lot of reasons, you know, for perspective. You know, from far away, you're going to see this gun, and that's all you're going to see. And you may be very attracted to that. And then you get close. So there's this perspective. When you get close, you read the information, and then you have like an aha moment, or a, oh my God, what is this is what she's saying, or this is what this says, and now I have to think about this. Whereas, like, I mean, I've had some people, and I will say it's men, see like AK-47 on a wall, and they can't read the writing, and they're like, oh my God, I have one of those, or I had one of those, or I was in the war and I shot, you know, I love it, and they will just kind of go off.
So it's like a portrait of a lover for them.
Yeah, but then when they ask what it's about and I tell them, and again, I'm just stating facts, I'm not saying you're wrong for loving it, I'm saying this gun was actually used to kill 26 kids at Sandy Hook, they're like, holy.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. And, you know, it strikes them. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, all, you know, most artists are trying to do that. You know, not all of them are able, but this is definitely powerful, powerful art, especially in this today's culture. It's really, really necessary, I think.
There's another part to that I just want to say, in that when I'm painting the guns, and in particular the mass shootings and the guns that are used to kill black men, because those are specific guns about specific people, it is also hard for me. Like, it's very painful to paint them. I think about the people, and, you know, in my way, I'm hoping to honor them, but it's also very, very hard for me.
Oh, I'll bet. Have you gotten any kind of feedback from some of the families that have been involved in some of these particular shootings?
No. No.
Yeah.
I think it's hard.
If you're just joining us, my guest is artist Katie Selfy. We're talking about a lot of her political work. She does a lot of work on gun violence in America and gun culture. You've worked with many different mediums. I wanted to know how you pick the mediums that you use to make your art with, because you use painted plywood and you paint and silk screens. And tell us how you decide that.
That really ends up being, when I come up with a project, I think about the work. There's a conceptual part of it, and then I think, you know, how will I portray what I'm trying to portray in the best way possible? Mm. And sometimes it has been with screen printing on paper. Sometimes it's been screen printing crude oil on plaster that I cast. Sometimes it's painting. With some of the guns, it was painting on plywood with acrylic paint and writing with colored pencil, because I wanted it to be very simple, non-precious. I just didn't want it to be precious for that
subject
matter.
So it's like graffiti,
matter,
perhaps.
In a way,
More elaborate, but.
And then the work about gun violence against women, the guns that I painted for those, I decided to use makeup. And that, I think you can kind of connect the dots there.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make those really beautiful, and so I used makeup. And at first, when I started using the makeup, I don't personally wear much makeup at all. They were very kind of, you know, just all one color of lipstick or all one color of eyeshadow. And then I started to realize, like, oh, I can play with eyeliner and nail polish and lipstick and blush and put them all together and make these really beautiful. And in fact, you know, guns, they are supposed to be these, like, they're commercial items. People are buying them, and they're making them look really good. So that's what I do.
And people are attracted to the, you know, the color, the shine, the sounds.
Right. So the medium really just depends on what I'm making work about. Right now, I have a new show coming up, and I have clay, I have paintings, drawings, collage, you know, kind of everything.
Well, you know, I wanted to ask you about, stay on the subject of the guns because they're so prevalent in your artwork. You just came back from having an exhibit in New York City called Every 16 Hours.
Yeah.
What does that title convey?
So when I, about 2 years ago, I was interviewed for a magazine called Of Note Magazine, based out of New York, connected to NYU University. And they were highlighting women in the United States making work about gun violence. And so I was one of 10 women. And during the interview process for that, I did some research and realized that every 16 hours, a woman is shot and killed in the United States.
Wow.
And I had already been making work about gun violence, not every subject, but that had never come up on my radar. And I found that kind of interesting in and of itself. So I immediately made a gun using the same kind of equation of the other guns, which is life size, scale of the gun, and the make and the model. But instead of finding specific women, because I felt like that at that point was going to be too emotional for me, I just recycled a lot of the handguns, because most of the time it is a handgun that's going to be used to kill a woman, and figured that, you know, there is a Glock that has killed a woman. There is a, you know, a Smith & Wesson, or, you know, so I then just wrote more personal things, like, this gun was used to kill your mom. This gun was used to kill my daughter. This gun was used to kill her sister, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that work, I made 16 guns, and like I said earlier, they were all painted with makeup and shown at AIR Gallery, which is the longest women-run gallery in the United States. I think it's been around for 46 years. And that felt really nice and appropriate as well, to be in that setting. And the show was up in February and March.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I wonder, too, because it sounds like it changes in some ways. But what are you hoping people will take from this exhibit about guns? Questions?
Yeah. My hope is that they see the work, and whether it's with me, if I happen to be in the space where they're seeing the work, or with themselves, or with someone they're seeing the work with, or a family member that they go home to, that there's a conversation, a thought. And, you know, at some point someone said to me, who's your audience, and aren't you preaching to the choir when you show in a gallery like AIR Gallery and a bunch of Brooklyn and New York artists that are probably of the same philosophy as you when it comes to this subject? And I thought about that for a while, and I thought, yeah, you know, probably that's true, but the choir has a huge amount of work to do. And so if I preach to the choir and motivate one person to send a postcard that wouldn't have otherwise, or maybe have a conversation with somebody that is a gun enthusiast and, you know, change their thought process so, you know, they understand that it's not about taking away the guns, it's about having smart gun laws to protect everybody, including them. That's what I hope.
Yeah, yeah. I can imagine it can become politically, you know, harrowing in some ways, talking about this subject.
Yeah, I've had to learn a lot about the subject, and honestly, it's very uncomfortable. I'm not an activist, so to speak. I mean, I've gone to some rallies, and, you know, I do some things here and there, but I don't want to be a full-on political artist or a full-on activist. I've had to be way more, I feel like with this gun work, I've had to be more in that mindset, in a way, just because of the subject matter, and that I have wanted to talk about it. So that's been good, but I also need to balance it out and do other work that's not about this type of subject.
Yeah,
it takes a lot.
Well, I can understand why you keep going to it, because it never ends in this country.
It never ends.
Every day, something more shocking. Who are the artists who have influenced you?
Over the years, it's, when I was younger, I was really into, partly because of, I grew up looking at Rauschenberg and Jasper Johns and Richard Serra and Oldenburg, Lichtenstein, that whole genre, Andy Warhol. When I went to Gemini and worked there, I printed for a lot of those artists, and that was pretty unique to have that experience.
Oh, yeah.
And it was great because it, in some cases I fell in love with the artwork even more, and in other cases it kind of demystified it and gave me a perspective on, just because someone might be famous, not every single piece of work they do is perfect.
Yeah.
Via Selmans is another artist that's from LA that works at Gemini, and I love her work. Banksy,
oh, yeah.
Ai Weiwei, Jenny Holzer, uh-huh. Barbara Kruger. I mean,
you must be influenced by graffiti artists, because this reminds me, and graffiti is the thing that speaks to us right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
It's really quite prevalent. It's
yeah.
amazing.
It is.
Yeah. When you're doing your art, do you start off just with one piece, or do you imagine a series already before you've created it?
Yeah, I often see, if not all of the work, most of the work in my head.
Really?
Yeah. Most of the time, I've made the work in my head. And then I feel like in some ways I'm a technician that just has to get the work out of my head and into a physical form. So yeah, I mean, I see work all the time, and I have to write down my notes, and some pieces are there from 10 years ago that I haven't been able to make yet, because either they're too expensive, they're too heavy, they're, I don't have
yeah.
the equipment to do it, whatever it is. But yeah, so I see my work, 90% of the time. Occasionally it will just come, but I'm not in that space that often.
Wow, that's fascinating. Do you try to work every day? Do you try to keep the juices flowing?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it goes in and out. I have a 14-year-old daughter, and over the years, there's been, it's ebbed and flowed. There's been times where I can really dedicate a lot of time to my art. There's been other times where it's always been a part of my life, but it might be part-time, so I can only get to it a couple hours a week, that sort of thing. Right now, I have a fortunate situation where I'm full-time artist, and
yeah.
I have a studio right next to North Star, and I've been there since July last summer, and I go there Monday through Friday, and doesn't mean that I'm always creative, every single moment that I'm there, but I'm doing something towards my art career.
Yeah.
Whether it's, there's a lot of business that
comes with
being an artist
as
well.
Oh, I'm sure. And you've just got to keep the juices flowing, and something will probably manifest itself.
Yeah.
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 To tell us about the recent series, Arabian Camels and Crude Oil. I find that fascinating.
So that actually was made in 2007 in California when I was still living in San Francisco. And it was in response to the Iraq War. And I started making images using the camels because I was thinking of a combination of, oil and oil as it relates to transportation, and then the camels as a way that in that part of the world often was used for, historically over the years,
yeah.
the Silk Roads. And so it was like I was thinking about environmental degradation, I was thinking about war, I was thinking about the oil and the camel. And I often use a lot of animal imagery in my work over the years. So I went to Southern California, I found a small oil company, and they gave me oil directly from the earth. And then I ended up screen printing images of camels onto plaster, which could absorb the oil. And then I also made sculptures of, bronze sculptures of camels caravanning that were going through the gallery. And yeah, so it was, you know, kind of more conceptual. I don't know if everyone could get the tie to the war, but that's what I was thinking about.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Is it difficult for an artist like you to find places to exhibit? And are you in group exhibits? Do you try to have solos? Tell us.
It is. When I was in San Francisco and had that show, Arabian Camels and Crude Oil, it was in Mark Wolf Contemporary Art, and he only works with California artists, and so he had signed me on, and I was part of his group, and I worked with him for about a year and a half, but then when I moved to Ithaca, he had to let me go eventually. And living in Ithaca, it's a smaller town, I've been able to show a lot here, it, ranging from, you know, cafes to restaurants to the few galleries that are in town, participating in group shows, having solo shows. And then I've also shown in Vermont at the BCA Center there, and in New York, and in some group shows there, and then the AIR show. But I don't have a gallery that I'm represented by, and that makes it a little trickier. It's, you know, I feel like I am either putting energy out or just hoping that something will come my way. But I do have a show coming up at Corners Gallery, and that won't be about political work at all, but it'll be in September. And so that, you know, that'll be wonderful to have that show and then, you know, see what happens after that.
Yeah. Do you think you're always going to be leaning toward a political theme for your, because the culture is so permeated by it, it seems to me you'd never run out of ideas.
Yeah. I mean, I'm taking a break right now, but it's, you know, even today I was listening to a new podcast called White Lies, and it's about civil rights and, you know, it got me thinking, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'll make something about that. I just don't know. Maybe I'll go back to the gun work. I mean, it's hard to tell. But I do know that for me, I make work that's political and then I take a break because I need to kind of recharge and make something that's a lot lighter and more positive and beautiful and happy. And
that's good for your own soul,
it's
right?
Good for my own soul. But inevitably, I do always circle back to something that's more political.
Wow. Well, we look forward to seeing some of your work. We are almost out of time. Can you give some contact information?
Yeah. You can find me. I have a website. There's two websites, actually. Katie Selfie. com. That's K-A-D as in David, I-E, S as in Sam, A-L, F as in Frank, I.com. Or you can find me Petite Blue, which is completely different work, not political at all. And that's PETITEBLUE.com.
Great. Well, Katie Selfie, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and please keep up this great work.
Thank you for having me.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega, and we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.